Thank you for coming. Welcome to the Madison School District Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting, a regular public Board of Education meeting for September 24th, 2019. Call to order, opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Madison and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sorry.
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mr. Boulderman.
Here.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns. Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Fiore.
Here.
Mr. Hobbiter. Mr. Angolia.
Here.
Mr. Lafreda. Mrs. McGarry.
Here.
Mrs. Pollard. Mr. Serino.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
Jane Antonucci.
Here.
Nick Barian. Richard Maloney. We have Warren.
Sandy, can we turn the volume down?
I'm working on that one.
Mission statement. Madison School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of the audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda in the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend the acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined Committee of the Whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of August 13, 2019. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Fiore?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone?
Abstain.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Now move to our student board representatives.
Jane, would you please stand? Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I, Jane Antonucci.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, please state your name.
I, Jane Antonucci.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
Do solemnly swear that I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
For the student liaison to the Board of Education.
For the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thank you and congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Move on to principal reports.
The principal reports. Now we have the elementary school. Colleen Graziano.
Mr. Catani, the student board representative report.
Did you have a report?
Oh, do you have a report?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
For the high school?
Everything's going pretty well so far this month.
If you can make that report every month, right, that'd be fantastic.
All right. Do we have a motion to accept that report? Mr. Alderman, Ms. Passone.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time tonight. I just wanted to take a few minutes to go over some things for the start of our school year at the elementary school. First, I want to say thank you to a lot of different people. We did have a wonderful opening, very smooth transition into a new school year. From the administration, the work that was done in the summer together, the teachers working on their classrooms, the secretarial staff and the work that they did, the amazing work of the custodians, everyone really working together as a team, and it came together and we had a wonderful opening. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of the above for that. And we're excited about the new school year. And I wanted to give particular mention to our student council. All of you are aware that we have a tradition at the end of the school year at the elementary school, we have a closing day ceremony. Well, last year, this is the second year now, last year our student council came to administration and said, you know, we celebrate together at the end of the school year, what a wonderful year we had, we recognize retirees, and it's a very small little tradition, but it's very important to them, and they asked us, why can't we do that? We'd love to do that at the beginning of the school year, to kick off our school year and talk about working hard, working together to make this a great school year, because we're proud of our school. And they did an amazing job. And so what we did, we started it last year, we did it for the second year this year. The first week of school, on the Friday of the first week, we have a opening week ceremony. And at the end of the day, it's just a 15-20 minute ceremony. We once again, the entire school comes into the gymnasium, and they did an incredible presentation. The student council officers spoke about working together, as I said, as a team, about how proud they were of the school, and about working hard, working to your highest potential. And it was, they have pictures from the opening day of students across the school. They did a wonderful PowerPoint presentation and slide presentation of pictures. And they did some really emotional, very emotional speeches about how proud they were and looking forward to the school year. So I just wanted to give credit to our student council because they came up with that idea last year and it was wonderful again this year and a new tradition. Our back to school night presentations on September 12th and September 19th, we had two very successful back to school nights. Our first one was for our middle school, 6 through 8, and our second one was preschool through grade 5. We had great attendance from all of our parents, very much wanting to get involved. PTO was there to get parents engaged in activities. All of our support staff was available for parents, and the teacher presentations they worked very hard on them and they did a wonderful job. So they were two very good evenings to once again kick off our school year. I did want to mention both sides of the street, the elementary school and the high school. Every year, I think this is five or six, the Wounded Warriors Parade, at least 5 or 6 years maybe?
Maybe longer. Yeah, longer, but I think it's 8.
It's another wonderful tradition that my children in particular look forward to. They have lessons during the week about veterans and our military and the service that they give and how appreciative all of us need to be. Obviously age appropriate, the lessons all during the week, but on that Friday we come out, everyone line the streets. They're dressed in their red, white, and blue with their banners and their signs. And it's a really beautiful experience. It's a great event that we're happy to participate in. And we were very fortunate this year with regards to our lessons about September 11th and honoring those that we lost and keeping the memory of September 11th alive. Once again, age appropriate, the lessons that went on that week. For our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, we did have an assembly this year called 9/11 and Out of the Light. We were extremely fortunate to have Kathy Cunningham. She is one of the board members of, I'm sure you're probably familiar with, Stephen Siller, Tunnel to Towers, and the 5K race and the walk that day, which is coming up the end of this month. She is on the board, and she has also created a local foundation called Team Shamrock. And she goes out to schools and she visits them, and she has an assembly program that she speaks to them about the wonderful work that Tunnel to Towers Foundation does. And her presentation was extremely moving, very emotional, and it was a wonderful experience for our middle school students because she shared the message of the whole assembly was hope and resilience, and good comes out of when terrible things happen. and working together. And she showed the incredible work that they do to help the families of fallen first responders and the support that's given to those families through the foundation, the money raised. And they also have another program called Smart Homes, in which they build brand new homes that are completely handicap accessible for our disabled veterans. And she showed presentations of the dedications of some of the homes. And it was a great experience for them to have. So we were very appreciative to have her and love to have her back. And I highly recommend her to any of the sending districts. It was a wonderful experience. Move on to academics. Well, one other thing first. Mr. Coppola, a little later on, is going to be talking about our social-emotional learning initiative across the district and being concerned about the emotional well-being of our students. Going along with that, we have talked as administration and as a faculty of how we can get our students at the elementary school more involved in community service projects. And we work together across the grade levels to see how all of our students, age appropriately again, can become involved. But we wanted to start with our athletic teams. And Mr. Kirk met with all of our coaches who are all on board and very excited about the initiative. We are planning community service projects each of the sports seasons with our coaches that will be available to our student athletes, because we wanted them to understand that the community is so supportive of you and our athletic programs and all of our students that we want to give back to them. And so far, they're not mandatory. The students can participate in one, two, all of them, or none of them. Right now, the ones we have in place, our first one was put together by our field hockey coach, Marissa Melillo. On October 12th, they are going to Sunnyside Manor to meet with the residents there, the senior citizens, and they're doing a pumpkin painting activity with them. There is another activity going on that's coordinating with Clean Ocean Action, a beach sweep that's coming up the end of October. And Mr. Kirk is currently working with some representatives from Jersey Shore from the hospital to see how our students can get involved in going into the children's hospital and working with the children who are there. So it's just a start. We're just getting it off the ground, but the first three things that we have in place we're really excited about. And the athletes seem to be very excited about participating. So we'll keep you posted on how those events go and new ones that we plan. I wanted to take a minute just to follow up briefly on last month. Mr. Roach presented to you two programs that we have in place, two academic programs that are new this year. And so I wanted to give you a little update. The first he had mentioned, talked to you about IXL Math, which we piloted last year in third grade. And this year it is now in place in grades 3, 4, and 5. It is again the online platform, personalized learning plan for each of our students, in which the students get engaged in their own learning and take ownership of it. And it was so successful last year with third grade that we are very excited to have it into additional grade levels this year. And the first training has already taken place with our teachers. So that is underway. And Mr. Roach also mentioned to you that we have started to put in place individual student learning profiles for every student, kindergarten through eighth grade, in which we have set up a platform that now all in one place, we have started to import all the data for every one of our students. We have all of their test scores, their grades, notes from teachers about their individual learning styles, their preferences, their strengths, their weaknesses, interventions that have worked with those students. And so that is, that is underway, and the teachers have already started our support staff importing data, and it will carry from year to year, so we have an individual profile on every one of our students. I think all of you are aware that we are currently working on looking to adopt a new math series for kindergarten through sixth grade. We have research programs. We use EdReport, which is kind of like a consumer reports for educational materials. And we have found six programs that we are very excited about. We have a committee, a curriculum committee, who is going to be seeing publisher presentations from six different series. They are already starting to send us. We've met with the committee to talk about what our expectations, what we're looking for, our priorities in regards to not the standards, the assessment tools, the online materials that are available, the program in itself. We're receiving publications from examination kits and sample materials, and the committee right now is looking forward to presentations from six different companies. We're hoping to have six different presentations done by November, so we will hopefully have a proposal to bring to you for the program that we wish to adopt hopefully in December. So very excited about that, because the six programs that we're looking at, they all look exciting. We're intrigued about the pros and cons of each one of them. It's a very, very important decision. So, and the committee is very dedicated to putting the work in to choose the best program for our kids. And the last thing I wanted to mention is we are right now working closely with our guidance department, with our counselors, and all of our teachers across the board to prepare for the events in October. We have a lot of very important events that take place across the month at the elementary school, from the Week of Respect, School Violence Awareness Week, and Red Ribbon Week. And next month, we will report out to you about the events that have taken place and will take place. Our counselors have lessons that they go into the classrooms that they teach. They have lessons that they co-teach in health classes and with our general education teachers. We have speakers coming in. We have assembly programs. We have some contests and competitions across the grade levels. It's a really exciting month at the elementary school. A lot goes on, so I'll be excited to share with you the events that take place. And also gearing up towards our Halloween parade, which you know what a big event Halloween is in Manasquan, especially at the elementary school. And we also started something new last year with our Halloween parade, since it was so important to our kids. Last year, our administration picked a theme that we kicked off with the parade, and all my administrators were we dressed up in costumes, which we do every year, but focused on a theme. Last year we were superheroes, because our theme was NES, we're all superheroes, and NES superheroes against bullying. This year, I won't share what our surprise is, because it is very secretive what our costumes will be every year. But our theme from the costumes that we will be in, our theme this year is One School, One Team Making a Difference. And that kicks off the theme for the remainder of the school year throughout our character education lessons. So thank you very much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Any questions, guys? Good? Thanks, Colin. Awesome. Mr. Goodall.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me tonight. Here tonight to talk about the high school. Feedback from everyone in the community, central office, teaching staff, administrative team, parents, students, and our school year kicked off to a great start. We got a lot of feedback and emails from people congratulating me on getting the position. And with the help of everyone sitting over here and the staff and the kids here, we got off to a great school year with very little problems operationally to start it off. One of the things that I've learned over the years being a high school principal is that kids and teachers cannot perform if they don't feel safe. Getting some feedback, speaking with Mr. Coppola, some of the things they put in place last year, and speaking to teachers, the emphasis on school safety was paramount from the first day. If you walk around our high school, all of the staff, all of the teachers, custodians, everyone is wearing an ID. The biggest challenge is to have students wear the ID, and I've been pleasantly surprised how quickly the students have adopted this inconvenience, so to speak. The kids, right from the beginning, with a little help from the administrative team, recognize in the state of the world that their safety in a high school is most important for them to learn. And I have one clue that I have used in the past to know that kids get it. I was walking down downtown to get something to eat before the meeting. I saw four kids in a restaurant. I walked in, and they all went like this, that they're wearing their ID. I'm walking back, and I see a young lady shopping with her mother, and she has her school ID on. And I had to stop her. I said, you can take it off now. We put a few things based on what they did last year, built on that for this year. IDs from any governmental agency on school safety will tell you is critical that you know who is in the building at all costs. Security here is fantastic. The comings and goings of parents for meetings is well monitored at the front door. If you've ever come up to our front door, that kiosk is working beautifully. And we put strategically in place, the kids do leave the building for some classes here, entry and exit points that are well monitored. And everyone's been so cooperative, and we feel we have a really safe school. Jane can attest to it. She knows. Are you wearing your ID, Jane?
Not today.
Okay. But the kids are really compliant, and it's a challenge, and it's an inconvenience, but the kids have been fantastic with it. We had a great back-to-school night on September 10th. Mr. Place did a presentation on Canvas. Mrs. Kenny did a presentation here in the Media Center with colleges and the guidance process throughout the year. And Dr. Cajun and I hosted parents and meet Mr. Good all night in the cafeteria, and all of the venues were well attended. And the feedback that I got from parents was that it was a great night for them to come and see where their kids are going to school. We have so many parents who are alumni, are thrilled to come back. And I was amazed. I didn't have to direct anybody where to go. They know where the classrooms are here, so it was a lot easier. And it was a real good night to meet some of the parents. I thought I was well received as the new principal here. And I got that feedback about the staff, that their presentations were well planned and really informative about what we do here at the high school. So the kudos to the whole high school staff for pulling off a great back to school night. So as a new principal, you come into a school district, you come into a new school, and you take a look, Principal 101, you take a look at what the school that you're at and what they're doing, what they've done in the past. And I make it a habit as to not be dismissive of any of the things that we've done in the past, but to show some of the things that perhaps I've experienced from other school districts that could help evolve our school. Our high school is involved in a one-to-one initiative with laptops, and we spoke to the staff about looking at a self-study as them as a teacher and a practitioner. The SAMR model, we throw a lot of acronyms around in education, and sometimes when you promote that to the teaching staff, they go, something else I have to do. But this was very well received because it's a approach that they reflect on their own individual teaching practice. So we did a little presentation on SAMR, and I'm going to show you a short video so you can get an idea of what SAMR is. And then teachers did a pre-assessment to kind of gauge where they are with their own instructional practice. At what level do they use the technology in the classroom? And all I asked the teachers was, how are you using the technology in the classroom? And also, how am I engaging students as digital natives? No one can make the excuse that we can't use the technology in the classroom. The kids don't want to use it. They are digital natives, and that's their whole world. And at the appropriate times, using the technology the right way can have them better engaged in the classroom. So, just about here. Beside.
You're going to have to move to the left so the board can see.
Technology has the power to transform student learning. But what happens when it doesn't? What happens when that class set of iPads is nothing more than a class set of really expensive digital worksheets? The SAMR model tackles these issues with a focus on the intersection of technology and pedagogy. This model has four different layers, the first two focusing on enhancing the learning task, while the next two layers focus on actual transformation. With substitution, the technology acts as a direct substitute with no significant change. So a student typing an essay on a computer is merely swapping out paper for a laptop. With augmentation, the technology acts as a substitution with some functional improvement. So that same essay is now done on the Google document with the ability to have classmates leave comments on one another's work. With modification, technology allows for significant task redesign. So that same essay is now a blog post. Students are doing research online, editing on a shared document, and publishing to an authentic audience. It is no longer an essay. It is an article crafted for the world. With redefinition, the technology allows for new tasks that were previously inconceivable. So that same essay is now a multimedia package. Students are not only researching online, but connecting with experts through video conferencing. They are co-writing their posts with a digital blogging cohort from around the world. And they are producing not only a blog post, but also a corresponding podcast and an edited video. Notice that the higher up you move through the SAMR model, the more transformative the technology task becomes, both in terms of multimedia content creation and in terms of communication with the rest of the world. Technology has the power.
So after viewing that, the teachers during the faculty meeting took the self-assessment, a tool I developed with the great assistance from one of my vice principals to gauge where they were on the SAMR model. During the first year when you examined that, most teachers would rate themselves on a substitution level. But a pleasant surprise was there were many teachers who do activities, although not every day, on the higher levels. So there's been a lot of progress here. So we're going to be looking at that. I'm going to be talking to Mr. Coppola, Mr. Place, and Dr. Cajun about providing some additional professional development for teachers, because when I gave them the survey, and they're extremely behind improving their technology infusion in the classroom, their first question is, can I get professional development? So that's extremely important as they develop it. So each teacher is going to set a goal from their original rating. If they started at substitution, the goal is to get them during the course of the year to routinely move one level on the SAMR model. And we were talking offline before the meeting started, what do I like about coming into this building? The teachers have been very receptive to evolving what they do. So, you know, it's a kudos to them that they want to be the best that they can be for our kids. Looking at the school as a whole, I put it out to the teaching staff if they wanted to be part of a committee to help me look at some things during the first year that I was here. I got 50 teachers volunteering to spend time on this committee. To not disappoint all of them, I got a little more aggressive, and we created six different committees that I'll have some assistance with some of the other administrators in chairing to look at what we do here as a school. So I'm going to chair the operations and security and management of the building. Mrs. Kenny and Mr. Murin are going to look at grading in our program of studies. Mr. Bramley is going to look at the code of conduct with the teachers. Mr. Reed is going to look at our academies and what we do in those academies. I'll spearhead the technology piece, the SAMR being a big part of that. And then I'm going to be working with Mrs. Pollack to look at some of our special and potentially bring some unified programs, which I can present at some other board meeting. But being inclusive of special education children, of all the great things that you do in a school district, is extremely important to the students and the parents of those children. So we have about 50 teachers willing to participate on their own time for committees to analyze and look at some of the things that we do at the high school. And again, that's not to change everything, that's to evolve what we do so we can be the highest performing high school that we can be. One of the questions that I was asked during my interview was take a look at our program of studies and identify something that you think might be missing here at the high school at first glance. I noticed that we have a engineering academy. I looked at all of the math and science classes that were offered here, and I noticed that we did not offer at least one of the three available AP physics classes that College Board recommends that you offer. Offering courses is all incumbent on budget, it's on constraints of the building, having the certificated staff. But one thing that I noticed right away, I think that we can develop, was to bring AP Physics to this high school. And in speaking to the science teachers, they think that that's something we can do and offer for next year. And in speaking to some kids, there seems to be an interest in that. It's my opinion, I don't know if it'll be the perfect fit here, that all kids at some point should have some responsibility of having physics as part of their requirement to graduate. All high-achieving high schools have physics in some capacity as a requirement. I gave you a list of physics courses that I've been familiar with in other school districts, and some of the topics there, I don't even know what they are, but we'll have certificated people to make sure that the kids do. And if you want to just take a glance at reading some of this stuff, I think it's some great work has been put on this, but we'll make it work for Manasquan High School. And in some capacity, you have to, understand that some children have a little bit of a struggle with mathematics, so there's different levels of physics that you can offer kids, but they get that experience as a student here. If you were to ever mandate physics at the high school, you would do that with an incoming ninth grade class in the future. You can't switch the game around on kids who are already here. But an emphasis on more kids taking physics and the adding of at least AP Physics 1, which would be my recommendation. We'll go through that as part of our course of study on that committee Mrs. Kenny is chairing. We feel at the end of the year, at least getting AP Physics and emphasizing taking physics as a part of routine here is something we can accomplish in 1 year. That is my report.
Any questions? Other than what are you going to be for Halloween? Like that at a different time.
It's usually Shrek or something like that.
Good answer. Didn't expect it. We have no presentations this evening, and we can move to you to the discussion of our committee of the whole. Regarding education, curriculum, and technology, Mr. Coppola did a wonderful job putting together our district improvement plan regarding CUSAC that everybody received in the Friday packet. Rick is going to, I think, talk about that during your presentation tonight. Since I brought it up, are there any questions that you had from reading it? Okay. We also had the board self-evaluation that everybody received. I think it would take some time, Lynn, to leave a discussion on that.
So each board member and central office administrator had the opportunity to go into the school board's self-evaluation portal and rate themselves as a board member and also rate the board where they feel they fall under a number of categories. There are planning, policy, student achievement, finance, board operation, board performance, board superintendent relationships, board staff relationships, and board and the community. Overall, the board scores I thought were very good. I think these are probably the highest scores in quite a few years. I'm only privy to the scores for the last 5 years, but there are a lot of good comments that were posted. I don't know if everyone had a chance to look at the comments under each section. Mr. Catani, if you wanted to chime in at any point with the board self-evaluation,
sure.
Please feel free to. Okay. Does anyone have any questions about the process, about the outcome of the board self-evaluation?
I think this is a great time, if you don't mind, me to pose the question. Lynn and I, for the last 5 years, have tried to keep you as informed as possible with everything that goes on through our Friday packet, and also having an open dialogue of communications. Communications in general for the entire organization has been something that we as administrators have been working diligently to get better. Because I feel, and this is not a surprise to anybody in the room, that there's times when we don't communicate within a period of time necessary for parents to get to communicate. We might get out a couple days too late or a couple days before the event. We've been working to try to work on that. My question is there anything that Lynn and I, at least till December 1st, can do better in communicating with everyone? I think our one-to-ones are beneficial, and I do keep them confidential unless you ask me to reach out and get something changed or work on something. Good?
Very informed. Sit on two boards, I have to say. Sometimes, no, don't put this in the paper. But sometimes I'm very well informed about what's going on in Manasquan.
I think it's very important that you do know everything that goes on, so no one gets surprises. I say the same thing to my administrative team. Things happen. As long as we deal with them correctly, that's the important thing. We can't stop things from happening, but then we have to work on them efficiently and effectively. And as long as I know what's happening in the building before a parent calls me, we can get to work on having an efficient and effective answer. And the same thing with the board. So if there's something you do think about later on, you feel we can do better, let us know. Because that's what we're here for. We serve you, and you serve the community. So.
Yeah. And just my comments in reading through this, the two things that stood out were how people felt they were in line and communicated well with the administration, and how they felt the board communicates well and anyone, you know, is aware of what's going on. Those are two nice things I thought stood out. But I'd also say, same thing with Dr. Cajun said, if there's something he could do to communicate better, if there's something I can do or Fred could do to communicate out to the board more effectively, just let us know.
I truly appreciate that you tell parents to call me when they see you in the stores. Yeah. Because I know that happens, and they call me and they say it was suggested to call me. And that's the right answer. I mean, we're bored when we sit together and you're out at the grocery store, you shouldn't be bothered, but you gotta be open. And I have no problem with that. So just continue that practice and it's good. And they usually get the answer that, they get an answer. Sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't. For the most part, I think 80% of the time they're good. So, okay?
Yeah, and one other thing I liked that I saw repeated in comments in here is that we've done a lot of facility improvements over the last few years, and we're continuing to do some. But it seemed like a lot of comments were in here about now focusing on education and improving the education in the school district.
And I think you can see from tonight's presentation from both principals, and you'll see from our directors when they present tonight, that has now become our focus for the year. Although I will be coming back to you to talk about facility improvements, because there's still facility improvements that we have to make. Okay, Lynn? We good? Two policies, the student identification cards and the home or out-of-school instruction for general education pupils were both sent to Friday packets. The changes were minimal. However, the student identification cards does now read a shall wear these cards. Jesse, if you want to expound on that, I think I got that correct.
Sure. This builds off of what Mr. Goodall was saying a little bit. So our current student ID card policy pretty much says that all pupils must have their ID cards with them and then present them, if they're asked by a faculty member to present it. Thinking through the implications that, first of all, we want students to wear them at certain grade levels, and also the way the current policy is written, even kindergartners or preschoolers would be required to wear their ID cards, or to have their ID card, which, as Mrs. Graziano confirmed for me, I not being an elementary person, but Ms. Graziano confirmed for me, was probably not practical. Anyway, working with both the high school administration and the elementary school administration, we revised the policy to essentially say that we're providing ID cards to students in grades 6 through 12, and that they're required to wear them while on property around their neck on a lanyard.
Which is a breakaway lanyard, yeah. So no one can get burns on their neck. And I want to thank you for that. When we called, you guys worked diligently to get that done. I think it's important that students learn at that age that the identification piece is important. So. And of course, the home or out of school instruction for general education pupils, that they had a typo in, so we changed it and we sent it to you again just to read. Highlighted what the typo was. Seeing no questions, we'll move to the food service procurement audit, and I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Coates, if you would.
Thank you. I would just like to let the board know that our district has been chosen for a food service procurement audit during this school year.
Yes.
It will be some time during the year. We don't have the exact date, I'll be working with Simplified Culinary to be certain that we are prepared. And I'd also like to let you know that next month at the board meeting, we will be reviewing the procurement policy one more time. We did receive an alert from Strauss Esme that the policy has changed in some way. It's a mandated policy, so we'll be bringing that back to you in October. We currently have a policy, but it's been changed, so we'll be bringing it back and discussing that in the month of October. I will let you know when we find out about the date. Under building and grounds and facilities, there's an agenda item number 27 on page 7 that authorizes us to go out to bid for the HVAC replacement and fire alarm upgrade project. And we've posted on Canvas as a virtual handout the schedule for the project. It also has been in a recent Friday packet. I'd just like to go over a couple of key dates, if I may. Next week, we're going to be having a walkthrough with our architect and engineers to review the 95% design drawings in the school itself. So the walkthrough will happen in the high school after the students are gone. On October 1st, we'll be placing an ad in the paper for the fact that the bid documents will be available. The bid documents will be available on October 8th to bidders. There'll be a pre-bid conference at 10 a.m. in the board office for any bidder interested in the project. The bids are due 10 a.m. on November 13th. On our board agenda on November 19th, we anticipate approving a contractor for that bid. In between the 13th and the 19th, our solicitor will review the low bid. We will have a pre-construction meeting with the contractor and our professionals on December 2nd. And then the work that will be performed will begin over the December holiday recess. The contractor will be in that whole time period working. They'll be in again over the February winter break. They'll be in again over the spring break, and then they will be in all next summer. That is the schedule for the work as we know it right now. Substantial completion date is August 28th, next summer, and teacher orientation next year, the first day that the staff will be in the building, will be September 8th. So August 28th to September 8th, we should be fine with that. Are there any questions on the schedule? No? Okay. Thank you.
This is where I'm really going to miss Lynn coming up, Pete. Lynn and I have gone through 6 referendums successfully and always on time and on the budget. However, this is the most difficult one. And having said that, today before I came to the meeting, our 90% plans came to us from the architect, and it's the first time we've been dealing with a new architectural firm. Having said that, Matt Hudson and Joe McDermott have been integral to me reviewing the 30% and the 60% plans and actually making corrections on those plans from the architect. Tomorrow, the 4 of us, included, will review the 90% plans that they send us and then go to the 100% plans, because we've learned all the corrections should be made before we go out to bid. That's when you have change orders occurring, and you have to, even to the niche of concrete being laid. So I'm sure we're going to have problems. I'm just letting you know. Because an HVAC project in a high school, when a high school's in session, is difficult. But we have a great team in place to ensure that there's a positive outcome to those problems, and it doesn't cost us money. So, and you can see there's nothing to present tonight, so Rob Notley isn't here, but he will be at the next board meeting, and he'll start presenting. Any questions at all about the project as we get into it? Okay, I believe that the committee of a whole section of our meeting tonight comes to conclusion. Now can I move to the superintendent's report?
Yes, sir.
And before I get into the reading the information regarding our violence and vandalism and Red Ribbon Week, today I had probably one of the best experiences I've ever had at Manasquan. I often sit in my office and I look out the window and I see our younger children, and sometimes their parents, fishing in the creek that we have. And we have trout, carp. And what's that orange fish called, Jesse? Help me with this. What is it?
Koi.
Koi, thank you.
Koi.
And we have koi. Big fish. And they catch them and they throw them back. But today, we applied for a certificate, a license, so we can get the hatchery to bring us from Asbury Park musky trout. And we got 25 bluegill musky trout to stock the stream. And it was great. We had our physics teacher, Jim Frieda, was out there with his class. And he was so excited about watching the fish. Yes, the fish being put into the stream.
I didn't know they were fishing that.
Yes. Go, when you walk by, take a look. You can see that orange one. It's about this big. No, it's about this big. It's really neat. So, but to me, that's Manasquan. To watch parents and their children fishing on school property. And we did post sign because it's catch and release. So I really want to thank Jim Frieda for this because he does a great job. I'm very thankful that he decides, Rick, to come back every year. Because you can replace every position, but you can't replace the person. And here's a good example of that with Jim. What we did today, and he had juniors and seniors out there and were excited about putting the fish into the pond. It was awesome. And we're gonna ask the town if we could put a chicken wire around the pipe, so when we have, they open up the vents at the lake, the fish don't get
at
swept. Yeah, get swept away.
At next pond, maybe?
Yeah. So I thought that was really neat.
Just watch because the baby ducks come down the
pipe. Yeah, well, I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, you will. In the springtime.
Moving to School Violence Awareness Week and Red Ribbon Week. Red Ribbon Week. On the foot here. Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education values the health and safety of all our students, and whereas substance abuse is particularly damaging to one of our most valuable resources, our children, and a contributing factor in the three leading causes of death for teenagers, accidents, homicides, and suicides, and whereas it is the goal of School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Weeks, and the Manasquan School District to involve families, schools, businesses, churches, law enforcement agencies, and service organizations in all aspects of this campaign and establishes an atmosphere that supports awareness, education, and ongoing initiatives to prevent illegal drug and alcohol use. And whereas the School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Weeks campaign theme promotes family and individual responsibilities for living healthy, drug-free lifestyles without illegal drugs and alcohol or the illegal use of drugs and alcohol. And whereas the Manasquan School District shall plan activities in conjunction with the Red Ribbon Week campaign, which supports awareness, education, promoting a healthy lifestyle for the students and families of the Manasquan School District. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Manasquan Board of Education does hereby proclaim October 23rd to the 31st, 2019, as Red Ribbon Week. Any questions about that? The reason I hesitated was because when we had CUSAC, this is one of the things Les Richens looked for. And that's why I made sure I read everything. I made sure, and this will be in the minutes that I can give him the next time we get CUSAC so we not lose points. As you can see, School Violence Awareness Week and a Week of Respect is also there according to the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act that was made come into action in 2010, and the Manasquan School District is actively engaged in this from October 21st to October 25th. Are there any questions about this at all? Moving right along, you do have the Manasquan Board of Education goals for 2019 and 2020. If these goals are accepted tonight, I will then make the district goals in regards to the superintendent goals from these. If you want to take a minute, they were sent in the Friday packet to everyone. As you can see, we have student achievement in both the elementary school and the high school, and we also have facilities. We have four goals chosen this year. If anybody feels four goals are too many, usually boards choose two. From speaking with Lynn and Jean and Fred, these were areas that we felt needed to be focused on. As you can see, they are academic of nature.
Yeah, I thought it was important to have something about accelerating the education in the elementary school and the high school. But where we are now, we have to have facilities go in there as well, going through the referendum.
Any questions? Good. So they will serve then as our goals for the year. Ladies, do you have an agenda? Can I read them to the public? Or are you Enrollment as of September 13, 1,488, high school 962, elementary school 526. Our evacuation reports, suspension and tardy reports. Bus evacuation was done on September 5th for routes 7518, 7520, 7521, 7522, 7523, 7524, 9500, and 9501, which are for ascending districts. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying, one incident, which was not a HIB in high school, and for the elementary school, there were no reports for the month. You do have attached, I have it as document C, I don't know where it is on your board, but it's the New Jersey Department of Education School Assessment Report. And we have a self-assessment every year, we've gone over this before, and tonight, we're going to take a look at this assessment report, which goes from July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. And it's several categories rated in both the high school and the elementary school. And we lost points in several categories. For instance, in the elementary school, under item C, there was possible 15 points in core element number one, and we lost 8 points. We only got 2 points for the school annually assessed harassment intimidation programs and approaches of other initiatives. Since this is a self-assessment, one of the reasons for doing this is to see what we don't do well so we can correct it for the following year. So I will make that a focus so we get 3 points instead of just two. Also down in core element number three, on the staff instruction and training programs.
All right. Yep.
I just want to make sure I understand, because this is also CUSAC and I want to get it on tape so I have it. Mm-hmm. The members of the school safety school climate team were provided with professional development and effective practice of successful school climate programs or approaches. Lynn, I thought we did this, but we only got 2 points for that instead of three. So I'll look into it to make sure these have already been filed, that we get those points for next year. And then looking at the high school, we lost points in the same areas under indicator C under core element number one, and letter C under core element number three, and core element number five, we lost 2 points. We lost 1 point. The school safety climate, the same thing. So those are areas I will address to ensure that we get 100% score. Out of a possible 78 points, we got 75. This will be posted on our website so the community knows.
Still very good though.
I think Manasquan is a magical place, you know that. And it's because of the people that are here. It's beautiful. I agree. Any questions about this at all? Thank you. Now I'm going to turn it over to the report for the assistant superintendent. Mr. Place.
Thank you. Just to correct one thing, Dr. Kitchen, I think there was a typo on the agenda itself. The HIB report does have one incident for MES this month. So it's wrong on the agenda, but on the document it's correct. Just want to make sure to clarify.
Well, thank you, Mr. Place, for correcting the superintendent.
I didn't say it was your fault.
The agenda is mine and the president who sits to my left, so you actually not corrected me, but you corrected him as well.
I abstain.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Just didn't want any misinformation.
Thank you for covering me. I appreciate it.
Just two items tonight. One, you might recall from a couple years ago, the districts participated in the Department of Education's what they call NJ Tracks Digital Learning Survey. So this is a survey that we put out to all the different stakeholder groups of the district. It goes out to teachers, it goes out to students, it goes out to parents, goes out to administrators, you know, separately. And they're all differently tailored surveys for those targeted audiences. This is not our survey. This is one that the Department of Education has developed and validated. And really, it's all about digital learning. So it speaks to everything, you know, in a wide range of things from, you know, how reliable is the Wi-Fi to things like Mr. Goodall was talking about, you know, that kind of SAMR model. You know, how many times a week in this class are you using X, you know, and things like that. And in the past, we've gotten the last time we did it was 2 years ago, about 2 years ago now. And in the past, it's really given us, I think, a really good picture of not only what you know, what we think internally, but also what those perceptions are from the outside. So it's often very interesting to see, all right, how do students look at how we use technology versus how do teachers look at it and how do parents look at it? And oftentimes those, you know, have differential answers, which, you know, then allows us to kind of take a little bit of a harder look at it. So that's going to be going out to all those groups this week. Any help you can provide in particularly the parent one, there are minimum numbers that we have to get in order for the survey to be able to complete it. So parents are often a group that we need to, you know, encourage a little bit more. So anyone who can help in that department would be appreciated. So that'll be coming out. The other thing is also in the technology side, you'll recall that 2 years ago, the high school was recognized as a Microsoft Showcase School. I'm happy to report we got that designation again this year. We were just notified a few weeks ago. So we're one of only 41 schools in the country that have that designation, which is, you know, which is pretty impressive. And in fact, one of only two New Jersey schools. So once again, we have some external validation of, you know, some of that effort to have here. And that's a credit to, you know, certainly the leadership and teaching staff who's really kind of, you know, moved in that direction over the past few years having our technology program. Thank you.
Thank you, that's impressive. Now I'd like to hear from our Director of Curriculum Instruction, Mr. Coppola.
Thank you, Dr. Cajun. Just to kind of follow up with one of the items in your packet, the District Improvement Plan. I've been in contact with the County Education Specialist with the Department of Education, and the purpose going forward was to develop a District Improvement Plan so as to address some areas of improvement that the CUSAC visit identified for us. So in that packet, in that plan, are specific items as it applies to some of our instructional programs, and there are also specific action plans that we're going to take as a district to address some of those things. So that is in preparation for this, and the meetings that we'll have moving forward will be to prepare for a CUSAC visit in the spring of 2020. So that's what that document that you got outlines. Part of that document, one of the things that we were directed to do was to develop a theater curriculum for K through 6. So that document was also in your packets. It's broken down into three sections, K to 2, 3 to 5, and grade 6. And there's specific elements and standards and assessments for each of those levels. So those were two things that we addressed. The next step after board approval with the district improvement plan will be to submit to the Department of Education, and then again we'll move forward and assess what we need to do for the visit in 2020. One of the other things I wanted to touch on was our professional development. Back to our half day that we had on September 10th. On both sides of the street, we had again our focus on social and emotional learning, and was very pleased with the results at the elementary school and the high school. We took a little bit of a different focus at the high school. There was an article that teachers were given in advance of the day where we read about teacher self-care and some of the things that we need to do as educators to kind of prepare ourselves to be the best we can for our students. There were follow-up questions along with that. That's really kind of the springboard for us to start to discuss strategies that we can implement with our students in terms to address that social and emotional piece. At the elementary school, there were two readings that Mrs. Graziano gave the staff. One was called Teaching Practices That Promote Students' Social Emotional Competencies, and the other article was Every Student Matters, Cultivating Belonging in the Classroom. And again, there were reflection questions that were tied into that. Great conversations on both sides of the street. Those conversations at the elementary school were followed up today in articulation meetings, and some teachers at different grade levels talked about different strategies and different ways in which to engage students and to be very aware of the students in their classroom in terms of their social and emotional wellness. So again, this is going to be a consistent theme that we have moving forward, and we think it's again really important on both sides of the street. So we're going to be looking for more professional development opportunities to kind of extend that initiative. When we talk about the social and emotional pieces, it basically focuses on three elements. It's the cognitive regulation, the emotional processes, and the social interpersonal skills. So those, again, are going to be our focuses on both sides of the street. We had a meeting today in the elementary school where the School Safety and Climate Committee is actually looking to kind of take the next step, and they're looking to put together a parent newsletter to discuss the social and emotional learning pieces in the elementary schools to kind of give a broader view and to communicate with parents and let them know what we're doing, but also to provide parents with resources by which they can also help their children at home. So we want to, again, cultivate that partnership. In the way of programs, a couple things that I just wanted to mention. One is a new program, one is one of our older programs, but I was very excited to report out just the success of our dance program at the high school. And I hope all of you got to see the video that for National Dance Day in September. I mean, I can't say enough about Melissa Galano and what she's done with this program and how inclusive that she's been in terms of embracing students of all different ability levels. She's done just a wonderful job in terms of promoting the program. One of the things when I sat down with Melissa when we hired her and we started the program, we talked about what we needed to do to make it grow. And we talked about performances and we talked about getting out in the community. And she's been very proactive in detailing specific things over the course of the months that we can do, that our kids can do in the community to really promote what's going on in it's not the classroom, the studio. I was corrected on that the other day. But it's going to culminate in a May 20th recital that we're going to host here at the high school that'll really be a very, you know, important celebratory event for this program. And again, when I sat down with Melissa in the summer, it was, you know, very enlightening for me in a lot of different ways. One, you know, being new to this position and the intense curriculum development, but also developing a curriculum for dance was also something that was very new to me. But she's been great. Again, I think the program's going in a great direction. I've talked to Mr. Goodall about where we are, and we're all excited about, you know, this being a part of our new Arts Academy, which we'll talk about at another board meeting. The other program that I just wanted to mention, there was an article in the Co-Star about our Academy of Finance. I passed out the article. It's a one-page article. It's absolutely outstanding. For those of you that are, I know you're all familiar with the program, but the program started with my predecessor, Carrie McCormick, and Carrie was really a visionary with the Model Academy, with the Academy model, excuse me. And, you know, that program started, again, 20 years ago, and I remember talking to Carrie when I got the position here. He started, you know, with a graduation ceremony of two students in this very room. This program has totally exploded, and I can't say enough about John Driscoll's leadership. Rich Reed also was an assistant director, as he served on that, and Linda Holder, who's now an assistant director. And basically, without reading the article to you, it's really nice to give them the history of what this program is. The Academy of Finance is a program that offers college credits. We have an advisory board. Many of these advisory board members in the community have been with us for, again, 20 years. There's internships and job shadowing that's offered as a part of the program. And most significantly, and I wish Janie was still here because she was quoted in the article. But most importantly, it's about the success stories of these kids that come out of our academies, specifically the again talking about the Academy of Finance and the experiences that they've had. And it's really, again, a testament to the great work that they do here. It's obviously, you know, it's based on these core four classes that these kids take. They are able to take other classes, honors classes, AP classes. They're also able to be involved in other academies. Our philosophy here has been that, you know, we want to specialize, but we also want to give kids as many opportunities as we can. And I'm just real proud of what that program is and has become. We have a graduation ceremony every year. We have fundraisers. We have a fashion show. It's a very unique program under very strong leadership with Mr. Driscoll, and we had a meeting yesterday with all our academy directors. It was a great meeting that Mr. Goodall and Ms. Kenny and I will talk about, just about our different academies and what they bring to the school, how they can work together. And again, you know, our model is a very unique one because we offer college credits through most of our academies. We have these affiliations. By the end of the year, we will have an advisory board for every one of our academies. And, you know, it's really, they're really showcases for our kids, and they really do a great job. And I just want to, you know, compliment our teachers and our students. And I also want to compliment Ms. Kenny, because as we have these programs and we add these academies, there's a balance between offering these programs and making them accessible to kids. That's a big challenge. And under her leadership, and you know, our guidance department does a great job, it's creating a schedule by which kids can get everything that they want. So that's really a great job out of the guidance office as well. And really, you know, moving forward, we're really excited to talk about you know, programs that we're gonna have moving forward. Mr. Goodall identified a great opportunity for our kids that's totally in alignment with the new science wing that we have in terms of bringing physics in. It's the electives that we have are booming in science right now. Our forensics class is very exciting. I talked to Mrs. Crowley the other day. It's a very popular class. There's crime scenes right around. I don't know if you saw them when you walked in. These are staged crime scenes that part of the kids have to do with their project-based learning. Our botany class is just going to start up. We have a visit that's going to be scheduled to go over one of the local high schools that has a botany program. We're going to pick their brains a little bit. So it's very exciting stuff. And you know, working with Ms. Graziano in the elementary school, the coordination and the collaboration that she has created, especially with this math program, is really impressive. And we're looking forward over the 3 days when we bring in those programs to kind of assess where we are and choose the right program for our kids. So it's been a good opening. I congratulate both buildings for very strong openings, and the support staff, and we're off to a good start. So thank you,
and thank you very much for all the due diligence you put into the CUSAC report.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Now I'd like to hear from our Director of School Counseling Services.
I'd like to commend Paula for knowing so much about the dance curriculum now. And as a fellow dance, as a dance mom, I appreciate his knowledge of the dance program. So I too work across from the dance studio, and I think it's one of the programs that's really taken off, and the students are really excited about it. And I think it's really just a segue to the programs that we'll be offering and continue to explore in the Academy of Fine and Performing Arts. So with that, as Mr. Burrell had mentioned, we are looking at doing a committee and getting a panel of teachers together to talk about our grading scale, rank, GPA, and our program of studies. One of the focuses for me moving forward is really to support the counselors at the high school level in terms of the college application process and the rigor and the preparedness for the students to get into colleges of their choice. I had mentioned, over the summer that we had 121 or 141 students that had applied to colleges prior to the beginning of the school year, which is something that's changing for us in the idea of, it used to be years ago, students were waiting, students were waiting until October 1st, November 1st, December 1st to apply to colleges. Well, now we're seeing the students applying in the summer, applying for October 1 deadlines, and some even sooner. And so with that, it's really important that we take a look at how we're preparing our students for the college and career aspect of graduation. I have been reaching out and doing a lot of work with independent college counselors to kind of see what they're seeing in terms of trends in the field of college admittances. Just interesting facts, certain schools basically fill their entire freshman class based on early decision applicants. However, the early decision applicants might not be those colleges that are giving the most money. Therefore, it really depends. It depends on every year. One of the college representatives that I spoke to was very specific in saying it really depends on the freshman class. What's different about this class? There could be more students that are applying to a certain school for a certain program. There was something in the news about I believe it was UVA. They had 1,000 students more accept seats in their college freshman class. Therefore, they couldn't accommodate them all. So the message now is a student applying possibly this coming year to UVA, well, what are their chances? And so it's really trying to inform the counselors and get the professional development for the counselors to really be more in tune and have a greater sense of what's out in the college admissions field. With that, we've been working with AP teachers and the academy directors. Mr. Coppola, Mr. Goodall, and I set up meetings this week to work with the AP teachers. The AP website has completely been redesigned, the process for registering for the tests, the workshops, all of the information that's provided to AP teachers as well as students. There's just a host of information on College Board and AP potential. So just having the teachers more aware of what's available for them during the year to support the AP students. And then also the academy directors and making sure that their classes are aligning with our schedule and making sure that the students are able to have the high level courses if they want them along with the elective options. In terms of the K-8 building, I've been working with Mr. Spinelli and Ms. Sanders to make sure that we are all set for Red Ribbon Week, School Violence Week of Respect, and to really kind of bring that all back to the SEL curriculum. Again, you know, the need for it. Every time you look, you know, on the news and in the paper, you see the need for any type of social emotional growth, learning opportunities for our students. In terms of testing, the NJSLA scores were emailed home. There was a cover letter, and the individual score reports were mailed to us last week. We sent the email home so that every parent has the ability to see the ISR, individual score reports, online for their students. The original file will be kept in the cumulative folder in the guidance office, so all the students already have their NJSLA scores for every grade level that took it. Coming up next week, we have our college night. At this point, we have over 65 schools attending the college night. We did send out the invite even earlier this year to make sure we've got as many representatives as possible. In the past couple of years, we've noticed our enrollment in that night go down a little bit, and when we questioned the representatives, it was because the answer is that there are 3 times the amount of college fairs in the state of New Jersey than there had been in the 2015-16 school year. So they're trying to keep up with most of the college fairs. So we have a listing of college fairs, just not specific to Manasquan, but also in the area that we send out to the seniors as well. Our college night is always highly attended. It's posted on all of our social media websites, and will be an email listing of all the colleges that are attending will be sent home. Additionally, we have the PSATs coming up October 16th, which is a Wednesday, for our 10th and 11th graders. And our freshman, believe it or not, class of 2024, recruitment season has begun. We have, I posted today online, the 8th grade sending district visits that we will be doing at night. The school counselor, the freshman counselor, myself, Mr. Goodall will be attending. October 24th is our annual 8th grade open house for all of the 8th graders and our freshman for a day program. So in the Friday packets for next week, I have the whole form with all of those dates listed. And so the goal for that is to really make sure that we are, you know, able to become accessible to all of the 8th grade students earlier during the school year to make sure that they are well prepared and well versed in the opportunities that we have here in Manasquan. So we're busy. It's a busy month in October. So
do you know how many students have signed up for the freshman of the day? Or?
So basically, the way that we run it in the past is to make sure that it's fair for everybody. We open the freshman for a day form for students to sign up the day after we're done with our visits. So our visits for the K-8 building start October 8th and go until October 23rd. The 24th is our open house. So on the paper that was posted, the freshman for a day Form will open up the day after open house.
Okay.
We try to have 15 slots for each date, and right now we have 9 dates on the calendar. So last year we accommodated, you know, upwards over 100 students, and you know, each year it's really kind of taking off, which has been a great thing for us. So.
Ms. Kinney, I was wondering, what does the guidance department do to promote vocational school and post-secondary vocational education? I don't know much about, like, I don't really hear, I truly support all of the academics,
absolutely,
but I really feel strongly about vocational school, and I don't feel like we really have a strong handle on that, and we promote it like we do everything else.
Right.
What are you guys doing about vocational and...
So one of the things that we're... that countywide they're doing is an actual vocational school fair. So that's something coming up. I believe last year they started doing, I want to say one of the schools in the area, started, I want to say March or April. So it, really a countywide vocational school fair. Additionally, we have a counselor going actually tomorrow. One of our school counselors in the K-8 building is going to the County Vocational School District to tour their programs and to bring back the information to our students, because it's not just the vocational programs that are full-time programs, so for example, high-tech communications, it's
right,
the school of work programs.
Right, like my son went to the vocational for automotive and it was very successful.
Yeah, and so we have counselor going out actually tomorrow to bring back more information. Two times a year we have vocational school programs come in and actually do presentations and demonstrations. We publicize it to the school community, to all of the students. So as we would do a college visit, we would do the vocational school visits. We usually, Kate Fawn was her name, she usually reaches out to us middle of the year, and we make sure that we get the students that are going. Additionally, the counselors do something called the four-year plan audit. And with that audit, what they do is they take a look at the students and really the whole picture of that student. So what do they have in their transcript? And if a student is looking at if a counselor is looking at a transcript that could possibly be marked as a student who's undecided, not sure, just this afternoon we had a conversation with a student to say, hey, why don't we set up a visit for you to do vocational school trials. You know, believe it or not, they're very competitive programs as well. And so it's our job to make sure that they know about the opportunities, because once they fill up, then it's looking for a slot. So each year, we are sending, I think, upwards around 60 to 70 students to vocational school.
And do you do anything with post-secondary vocational, with trade schools or anything? Are you working on that?
So that's what the post-secondary college, I don't want to say college, but the post-secondary fair is. It's more for those types of, for those types of opportunities. Carpentry, you know, different types of plumbing, HVAC, HVAC, all of those things. And so one of the pushes really as a guidance initiative for the county is to focus more on that for the students as well.
Okay.
So any information that I have, I will make sure that, you know, that I send out. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Because it's a push everywhere, and the students are really interested in it too. And really even the students that are taking advantage of our Brookdale programs that are might not necessarily be looking to go 4 year, are taking advantage of the 2 year options and then possibly going into a trade or technical program, a 2 year medical program, and they start through the Brookdale route. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I have a couple questions, if you don't mind. Would it be advantageous for our freshmen to be taking the PSATs? Do you see any value added to that?
Yes. We talked about that at one of the other meetings. The PSAT test is an 8-9 test. So it's PSAT 8-9, and then the PSAT NMSQT test. So basically the freshmen... I do think it's a very important initiative to have the freshmen take the PSAT test as freshmen, and then as a sophomore and a junior, they're taking the same type of test. It's broken up by that level, 8-9 and then 10-11. It prepares the students for really what the SAT, the ACT test is like. Ironically, I had a parent reach out to me that was talking about having their their child take the SAT in its sophomore year. And so in the past, I've always suggested that students wait until junior year minimum to take it. But, you know, because the parent was asking, I said, let me reach out to a representative, an independent college counselor who works with students on a, you know, much more full-time basis. He agreed, which I was happy about, he agreed that, you know, students at a sophomore level very rarely would be taking the SAT, went back and stressed the importance of the PSAT. And so, like anything else, if you're able to see what the PSAT, what the setup of it is like, and what type of test it is, and what skills you pull from it, plus the data that we get from College Board for PSAT is very important. So I do. I think it's something that we should, you know, definitely.
Does that fulfill the graduation requirement for this freshman class?
No, the PSAT 10 and 11 does, but the 8, 9 does not.
Okay, so I will be asking the board, because the board pays the PSAT, if they'd be willing to also extend this to freshmen, the freshman class, since it's been something in the future. And I'd like to get ahead of this instead of behind it, so we can actually build it into our budget for next year. And the other thing that students have been asking me for is metal shop.
Okay.
So what I would like to do, I know it seems it goes, education goes to 360. I got you. You had metal shop year before and everything. But we had over 170 students sign up for wood shop. I'd like to survey the students, if you could, from guidance.
Sure.
And see if there is an interest in metal shop. I mean, when you do that, we maybe want to also ask them about physics. And then they're looking at AP physics.
Two separate yeah. ones.
Oh, two ends of the spectrum, I guess.
You never get an answer.
And then I'm going to have to, again, a budgetary concern for me. How do you build this? Where do you put it? And I'm thinking the class that you have now for guidance, once the guidance suite is done in February, you're going to move out. That classroom's not occupied right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could build it there.
Right. Well, interesting.
Or we'll make that an art room and put it where it used to be. Where the current art room is now, that used to be metal shop.
Yeah. I mean, we have one teacher who does cooking and fashion design, and that class was probably one of the most requested courses because it fulfills the 21st century life and career. Ms. Pollock and I, in terms of our special education, you know, population, have been talking a lot about, you know, making sure that the electives that we offer are span, you know, different types of learners. One of the courses that she had brought up and mentioned was a course of child development. Because we have the ability to have students go back and forth across the street. We have a preschool, and I've been in a lot of school districts where they do offer, you know, a child development type of class, almost like a child care class or a teacher training type class, and they all kind of fall into the 21st century industrial arts, because we have a big range of classes, but could always do more.
I can put that on and see if there's interest.
Yeah.
Because if there's enough interest in each group, then whatever have the most interest is what we'll focus on.
Okay.
Any other questions? That concludes the superintendent's report for this evening.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Balderman? Mr. Warren?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Fattani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mr. Pollack? Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Brings us to our public forum and agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears that the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and group, if any, they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the code of conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portion of this meeting, the board will not respond to the questions by the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluations of performance of promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included on this agenda. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, that will bring us to the Manasquan general items. Do I have to have, can I make a comment on it, or do I have to separate it out?
You want to just separate it out.
Okay. Does anyone need anything from items 13 to 21 separated out? Do we have a motion for 13 to 21?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mrs. Pisone?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
That brings us to the Manasquan Sending District's general items. Items 22 through 42. Does anyone need anything separated out? I'd like to separate out item 37. Do we have a motion for items 20 through 42 minus 37? Ms. McGarry? Ms. Pollack?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
So I just like to discuss item 37, why it's in there to have some of our employees possibly get their CDL license, commercial driving license, and we're possibly thinking of some of our security guards. And some of you will know that there's a bus driver shortage all over. Last week we had four teams we couldn't get a bus for. We were able to get one for the one varsity team, but I think one freshman and two JV teams had to get their own rides to games. We've been working, and it's the bus company just doesn't have drivers. So we've been working with Wall, we've talked to Point Borough, and tried to arrange with them to share busing, and they have the same issue. So we had a thought that we could possibly have a couple employees just for those cases, pay for them to get their CDLs, possibly the security guards who work here, and have the ability. We can get a bus, we just can't get a driver. If we come into those situations, we could go get a bus for a day, get a bus for a week, a month, and we would have the drivers on staff to take those teams.
Those companies would rent the bus to us?
We're looking into that.
I'm going to turn this over to Lynn because she did a great job getting some information about this. And I think it's amazing at what you told me today about this. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
About the bus piece or about the driver piece?
About the bus piece what they were going to charge us. So I was
sure.
Like,
wow. So I've been speaking, unfortunately, the last few years. The beginning of the year, it seems transportation gets a little rocky with the shortage of drivers, which is a nationwide shortage of drivers, with First Student. And we posed to them, if we were able to obtain a driver, would they be able to provide a bus to us on a contract basis? So after repeated conversations, I was told by the supervisor at First Student that they would be able to provide a bus to us. I don't have the contract in hand yet, but they plan on charging us $1 a day for the bus. So the bus will be ours, it'll be on contract, it'll be here. We have to secure the driver. So that's the reason for the motion on the agenda this evening, as Jean had mentioned.
What about insurance? Would that be?
Yeah, that would definitely be on the district. But the $1 a day is a huge savings over what it would cost. I mean, some of the routes that we're running right now for co-curricular and athletics can be, depending on where they're going, can be $200-$300. So $1 a day for the bus,
and just paying the driver, you know, for the number of hours that we need them.
Hey, Lynn, what's the cost to go to CDL?
Well, there's a few costs. There's a $125 for the examination test and the commercial learning permit fee. And then the applicant has to get a physical performed by a DOT certified physician. So that's a cost there. They all have to be also have to be fingerprinted. We need to find out from the state if our school district fingerprints will apply.
They don't.
I feel they might be different.
I have a CDL. Yeah. It is different. Oh. You need a. Yeah. I drove a cab for a long time, but you.
Can you drive a bus?
I drove a bus as well. You have to go through Sagamore, and every division, like I taught CCD, I had to pay for that.
Right.
When I had to get a cab license, I had to pay for that. When I got my CDL, I had to pay for that. It's $85 for Sagamore. Well, it was when I went. And
that's around the going rate right now for the fingerprints. I figured it would probably be a different set of fingerprints.
It is. They won't take the same one to cross over in any other organization or group.
Okay.
That I learned the hard way.
The license itself is $42 plus $2 for each endorsement. So we need a passenger endorsement and a school bus endorsement.
So minimal. Okay.
Yeah. So those are the numbers for the costs.
I also want to thank Sandy Freeman. Sandy did a good job coming up with information for me.
My pleasure.
I asked you to do that, and you were very timely with that. And also, Tim Clayton came to me and he said that not only security guards would be interested in this, but maybe some teachers as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth exploring if the board's in agreement with this. It's more of a proactive approach. Instead of just saying, well, they can't get drivers and having parents drive, that makes me very uncomfortable. I prefer putting students on the bus with the proper chaperones. So, and I'm very happy that Gene separated that out, and that was great forethought on his part. Any questions about it? Okay, thanks, Gene.
So we have a motion for number 37.
Yes.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Passone?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Angolia?
I'm sorry?
Mr. Angolia?
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. Mrs. McGarry?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Carried.
Do we have anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? Anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss? Seeing no one, that'll bring us to our second public forum on any items on the agenda or not on the agenda. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll now move to executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Bear Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides that the Massachusetts Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of nine subject matters listed in Section B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent of the Massachusetts Board of Education going to the executive session on this date in Massachusetts, New Jersey, to discuss the matters that are permissible for discussion in the executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subject matters will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now therefore, it be resolved that the Massachusetts Board of Education, that the board shall go on an executive session to discuss the following items: confidential matters per statute or court order, student matter, acquisition of real property or investment of funds, possible acquisition of property, personnel matters, including hiring, resignation, leave of absence.
And number 7.
Oh, okay, it's not checked. But and litigation or contract matters. Do we have a motion to go to the executive session? Mr. Fiore, Mrs. McGarry, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right.
We have a motion to come out of executive?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock, Mr. Serino? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
We Do we have a motion for number 45? Mr. Fury? Mr. McGarry?
46.
Oh, 46. I'm sorry. So, Mrs. Pollack, Mr. Warren.
Mr. Boldeman.
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
You have a motion for the sending districts, items 47 through 49. Mr. McGarry, Mr. Fury.
Mr. Boldeman.
Yes.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mr. Fury.
Yes.
Mr. Ungolia.
Yes.
Mrs. McGarry.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Warren.
Yes.
Carried.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Serino, Mrs. Pollack. All in favor?
Yeah. All right.
There you go.